thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you. So let me begin by just saying that all Lie algebras and superalgebras are over K, a field of characteristic zero. So this reminds me of a time when we had a colloquium speaker who wrote, all groups are finite. And Walter Rudin objected and said, that's not true. Well, at least it's true locally here. This is my assumption throughout. So what I'd like to do is just begin by giving a little background on the subject that I'm going to talk about, and which is really about Lie superalgebras. So let me first begin with a split, simple Lie algebra over my field K. So this is an analog of an algebra over the complex numbers. This is finite dimensional. So this root system here is one of the usual ones, AR to G2. So following Berman and Moody, I'm going to say that a Lie algebra L over K is delta graded if L contains G as a subalgebra. The second condition is that L breaks up into root spaces relative to H, or weight spaces, and they're all roots, or zero. And then the third condition is just that you want the zero space to have something to do with the rest of the spaces. So I'm going to assume it's generated by them. Okay. So actually, we don't really need all these assumptions. We can replace the first assumption with the assumption that G is contained in the derivation algebra of L. And also, we really don't need the third assumption because, let me just put it here. These are heavy. Okay. The third assumption, if you only have one and two, then if you look at this subalgebra, this subalgebra is delta graded. And the whole Lie algebra acts as derivations on it. So this is an ideal. So one you can weaken, three you really don't need, but you better keep assumption two or it wouldn't be graded. Okay, so really the real assumption is assumption two. Okay. So there are lots of examples of these algebras. The examples are the affine algebras, the toroidal, any finite dimensional simple algebra containing SL2 would be an example. Intersection matrix algebras that were intersection matrix algebras introduced by Slidoe to study singularities. These are something like Katz-Moody Lie algebras. They're examples. The core mod the center of an extended affine algebra is also an example. So there are lots of examples, and this definition then allows you to study all sorts of Lie algebras just sort of under one definition, one kind of idea. So the classification of these Lie algebras has been done, and it's sort of like classifying the finite dimensional simple Lie algebras. If you throw away the assumption of finite dimensional, you throw away the assumption of simple, and you just keep the root system and this one extra assumption that G is contained in the derivation. So that's what you should sort of think of here. And let me just mention where the classification is done. So delta graded algebras with zero center are classified . So the first case that was done was A1, and this is in a paper by Jacques Chitz in 1962, a long time ago. But this is without this definition. This classified Lie algebras that were graded by SL2. Types ADE appeared in the paper of Berman and Moody in Invenciones in 1992, and that's where this definition comes from. Types B, C, F, and G are in my paper with Zelmanoff in 96. And then Ehrhardt realized that for the ones that are not graded by E8, F4, and G2, that these are Lie algebras that have a 3 grading. So a minus 1, 0, 1 space. And so they can be classified by Jordan algebra methods. So that's what's in this paper. Okay. And then in a paper with Allison and Gao in 99, we described how to put the center on. So let me just say plus center. So this is kind of the context in which the topic that I want to speak on is sort of living. And what I really want to talk on is Lie superalgebras that are graded by root systems. So, first of all, what's going to be the analog of that G? Well, the G here will be a finite dimensional, finite dimensional split simple the superalgebra, again over our illustrious field K, and delta here is one of the following. So I'm going to divide these up into types because I'll mention some theorems that are of these types. So the first type is AMN, M not equal to N. So this is the root system of SL M plus 1, N plus 1, CN, DMN, D2, 1, mu. Mu is not equal to 0 or minus 1, F4, or G3. So these last three are exceptional Lie algebras. There's a whole family of them of dimension 17, that's these. Then this has dimension 40, This says dimension 31. The second type are the ones BMN, which correspond to the orthosymplectically superalgebras. The third type will be types PN and QN. And then the last type that I want to talk about is ANN. Okay, so these are virtually all the finite dimensional Lie superalgebras. The only ones that are missing are the ones of Cartan type. So there are four families, W, S, H, and K, and I'm not going to talk about those because I don't know anything about those. Okay. So our definition here is the following. So as our second definition, we'll say a Lie superalgebra L over K is delta graded for delta of types 1 through 4 if, well, the first condition is going to be that L contains G tilde, which is a central extension of G. The second condition is the same as the second condition over there, that it has a root space decomposition, but this one is going to be relative to a subalgebra H tilde contained in G tilde. Now, G tilde is the central extension of G, so there's a homomorphism of G tilde onto G, and the kernel is the center. Okay? So what this subalgebra H tilde is just going to map onto the Cartan subalgebra of G. Okay? And that ensures that when you do a decomposition relative to H tilde, that you get weight spaces like the ones we have up there. Okay? And then the third condition is identical. So the idea of my talk here is that I'd like to try to describe these Lie superalgebras. So first thing that probably we want to know about is just how much bigger than G is this central extension. Okay. And there's a result by Ihaharo and Koga a couple years ago that says the following. Let's let G hat be the universal central extension of G. So any perfect Lie algebra or Lie superalgebra will have a universal central extension, and every other central extension is a homomorphic image of this one. So that's the thing you really want to describe. And their descriptions of G hat is the following, that G hat is G if delta is of type 1 or 2. So just think of this list here that we have here. G hat is SL n plus 1 if delta is a n n and bigger than or equal to 2. And it's something that we like to call d2 1 minus 1, which really doesn't exist, but that's a good way to think about it, if delta is a 1 1. And so g hat, the dimension of g hat mod g here is 3. So these type D algebras, the even part is the direct sum of three copies of SL2. For this algebra, the even part is the direct sum of two copies of SL2 and a central ideal of dimension 3. That's the center. So that's the result that I'll try to use here. Actually, I don't know any reference for it, and on the way up here, I worked it out, and it's got a one-dimensional central universal central extension. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I'm just quoting what's in their paper, and that. Yeah. Okay. If you know a reference then. Okay. No. Okay. So the first theorem that I want to mention is theorem of mine with Alberto Elduque, and this appeared in Canadian Math Bulletin in November. It says, suppose delta is of type 1, so on our first list there, one of those types, and L is a delta-graded Lie superalgebra over K. Then if you look at L mod its center and want to know what it looks like, this is just isomorphic to G tensor A. So even though you have exceptional root systems and all sorts of strange things, the answer is a very simple answer. It's just G tensor A. Here A is a commutative associative superalgebra. So A is A0 direct sum A1, and what I mean up here by commutative associative superalgebra is that when you multiply two homogeneous elements, then you have to take into account where they live, and essentially they commute, except if both of them are in the in this one space, in which case they anti-commute. Okay. And the product here is the obvious one. Now, since this A is going past the Y, you have to correct by the sign. And it's just that. Okay, so the idea of the proof here is that we use the same proof that was used in some of those papers. Namely, we regarded L as a module for G and saw what the module structure was. Now, this is harder in the super case because in the super case, you don't have Weyl's theorem on complete reducibility. So every time you know something about modules, you have to worry about how they can stack one on top of the other and how they break up. But sort of amazingly, the result here is even simpler than in the Lie algebra case. The answer. Yeah, if you let some of the parameters go, but see, here you do need these to be, you need both of them here, to need both of them. I don't want it to specialize because for the type A case, for the Lie algebras, you don't get commutative. Okay, so the result doesn't specialize in that case.
That's the way you say it.
Yeah. The answer turns out to be simpler. And, you know, for G2, for the Lie algebra case, G2, you end up getting, you know, Jordan algebras come in. For F4, alternative algebras come in, these generalizations of associative. So here is just commutative. Nothing here survives. Right. Yeah. Okay. So now let me move on to the second one. The next one that I want to look at is the one corresponding to the orthosymplectic case. Let me just give a little background here in this case. So in the BMN case, let me begin with the two-graded vector space, where the dimension of this space is 2m plus 1, and the dimension of the odd space is 2n. And I'm going to assume that I have a non-degenerate supersymmetric form, bilinear form, on V. And so what this means is that when you take two elements, two homogeneous elements, and you switch the order, you pick up a sign. And V0 is perpendicular to V1. Okay. So the Lie algebra here is just the transformations that are skew symmetric minus sign here. Relative to the form. So this is the Lie algebra that's often denoted OSP 2M plus 1. There are certain transformations that are important here, and that's that if you take two elements from V, two homogeneous elements, and you apply it to a vector U, the definition of these transformations is that, I'll write it this way just to make fewer signs, it's V times this scalar minus 1 V bar, V prime bar, V prime, V. Yeah. So it turns out that these transformations generate an ideal of G. G is simple, so in fact, the space of them gives all of G. So what I'm going to describe for you is a classification of the delta-graded Lie superalgebras that are graded by that root system. And it's the following. So this is joint with, again, Alberto L. Duque. And the paper should appear soon in Selecta Math. So the result is this. Suppose L is VMN graded. For M bigger than or equal to 1. Okay. Then L mod the center of L has the following structure. It's isomorphic to G tensor A, V tensor of space W, DWW. So let me describe what some of these things are. A here is a commutative associative superalgebra. And this part is a subalgebra. So this part looks just like the type 1 theorem. Okay. W is an A module. So that's the second thing. And there's an A bilinear supersymmetric form from W cross W into A. So once you have that type of form, then you can define transformations exactly like this. Okay. And that's what those DWWs are. Okay. So those are the components. And so what you should think about here is it sort of looks like a twisted affine Lie algebra. That's exactly what's going on. V is this vector space over here, the defining one for the orthosymplectic. Okay. So the multiplication is easy to write down also. So if you take two things of the first part, the same as in the part over there. So this is the first product. If you take something here and something in this space, the middle space, this is just XV tensor AW. WA, maybe better to write it. And I've got to put a sign in. Let's put the A over here. And then if you take two things from V, then the product is going to end up in these two N spaces. So this is D, V, V prime, tensored the form. So that's in the first space. And then there's a component in the last space, which is V, V prime, D, W, W prime. Okay. And then if you had one of these transformations, so if you have a D, something here, then it on X tensor A is 0. And it on something here It's just you apply. Okay. And this thing is a subalgebra, so you just use the product inside of here. Now, if you take n to be 0, then all you have is the orthogonal, the algebra. And this does reduce to the B and BM graded Lie algebras. This is exactly what they look like. It's just that this W, which I should have said is Z2 graded, it's just in that case this W1 is 0. So if n is 0, it reduces to the theorem that we had with Zelmanoff for type B. Okay. So now I want to move into the other types of root systems. Before I do that, I'll just make a little definition that helps with sort of describing the result. And the definition is this. Suppose L1 and L2 are perfect Lie algebras. So that just means that they're equal to their commutator. So we'll say that L1 is centrally isogenous, and I really don't know where that term comes from, yeah. But I guess it makes sense, to L2 if the universal central extension of L1. So you put on the most center that you possibly could put on is isomorphic to the universal central extension of L2. So another way of saying this is that L1 is just a central quotient of L2, isomorphic to a central quotient of L2, and vice versa. Okay. L2 hat, yeah. I need a hat. Okay. Incidentally, I forgot to mention it, and I should have over here, but in both these results for the first two types, we do describe what the centers are. It's just that it would be a little complicated to try to do it here. Okay. So I'm going to write this as L1 centrally isogenous. Okay. So what I want to do is describe these Lie superalgebras that are graded by the type P and Q now. And there's some interesting things that go on here. So this is type 3. This is due to Martinez and Zelmanoff. It's just a recent preprint of theirs that says the following. Let's assume L is delta graded. So the first part is if delta is Qn, then L is centrally isogenous to SLn plus 1A. So simple algebra. This is a commutator of taking matrices over this algebra A. So taking GLN plus 1 matrices over A, and then taking the commutator of that. Okay, so what is A here? A is a superalgebra. And there exists an element V in A1 such that V squared equals 1. Okay. Something like that. So A is associative if N is bigger than or equal to 3, and A is alternative, which is a generalization of associative, if N equals 2. So an example of an alternative algebra that's not associative is quaternions, or sorry, the octonions. Here you're looking at superalgebras, though, so you have to have some analog there. Okay. Part B of their theorem says that if delta is Pn, n not equal to 3, then L up to centers is G tensor A, where A is an associative, commutative associative superalgebra. Then the interesting case is P3, and the difference between these two is the universal central extension of Pn for n not 3 is just Pn. But for P3, it has a one-dimensional universal central extension. So that's the difference here. And the answer here is that in this case, L is centrally isogenous to something that I'll describe in a minute, denoted this way. Okay. So, but I will tell you here is that A is a commutative associative superalgebra. Okay, so the D in this theorem is a derivation of A such that D preserves the Z2 gradation, or what's sometimes called an even derivation. And this algebra CKAD I'm going to realize that inside of 8 by 8 matrices over A prime, where A prime is sort of the analog of the Weyl algebra here. So it's built using A and D. And what this is it's the subalgebra generated by P3 hat. And matrices that look like this, so these are 4x4 blocks. And X here is taken from A. So the Lie superalgebra P3 has a realization as 8x8 matrices. And this universal central extension is just taking those 8x8 matrices and adding one more. So you can realize these as 8x8 matrices, and then these are 8x8 matrices, and so the whole thing is going to live inside of that algebra. So an example of this, a very important special example, is to take A to be Laurent polynomials. Which you can view as a superalgebra. And then this is P3 graded. Because it fits into this construction. And this is just what Cheng and Katz denoted as CK. So this is an example of a superconformal algebra. It's related to vertex algebras. So superconformal just meaning that it has a Z grading and the spaces are universally bounded. And the zero space contains a copy of the Virasoro algebra. So in terms of the classification of conformal algebras, superconformal algebras, this thing plays, this algebra here plays an important role. And it was also constructed independently by Gozman, Leitis. Can you help me? Let's see. Yeah. It's easier to write than say. Okay. Okay. So what you should think of is that these P3 graded Lie superalgebras are really just very natural extensions of that superconformal superalgebra. Okay. So on my list of root systems, there's one left, and that's the root system of ANN. So as my last kind of result, C and D were in the first theorem.
Ah, they were.
Yeah. So the only things that are missing are the Cartan type. Yeah. And I think those are going to be kind of strange because the root systems there are basically vector space. Yeah. Okay. So the last theorem is joint work with El Duque and Martinez. This probably is plus. Okay. It probably won't appear until at least before. So let's suppose L is A N N graded. Then something nice happens that if N is greater than or equal to 2, then L is just isomorphic to SLN plus 1, N plus 1, A. Where A, I should say, this is centrally, centralized logic, where A is a commutative associative superalgebra. You know, these are very nice things that you can get very concrete realizations of. Just take a commutative associative algebra and take matrices over it and take a commutator. Okay. And put on a center if you feel like it. That's what this theorem is saying. for n equals 1, you remember the result about the center here, the universal central extension has dimension 3 over the algebra. So here you expect something that's going to be kind of more complicated. And here, L is centrally isogenous to something called the TKK construction. And J here is a Jordan superalgebra. So one example of a Jordan superalgebra, if you're not familiar with this, is to just take an associative superalgebra and take the product, for example, A, an associative superalgebra, and take the product A circle B. That looks like this. That would be an example. Okay. So this Jordan superalgebra J contains M11 plus as a unital subalgebra. Superalgebra, precise. Okay. And I'll try to explain things a little bit more. So TKK J is the Titz-Cantor-Kircher construction. And what this is, it's SL2 tensor J direct sum with this space. So this, as it turns out, are the inner derivations of J. And this L thing is just left multiplication. Okay. So you could write down the product very explicitly then on these algebras. If you just take two things, something from SL2, something from your Jordan algebra, Jordan superalgebra, and multiply them, you just get that. You get the trace of the product of X and Y, and then you just get the inner derivation determined by A and B. Okay, so it's very easy to write down. The way an inner derivation acts on this is it just acts on the second component. I need signs here. Okay, so this is minus 1 to the D bar, X bar. X tensor dA. Okay, so I think I've explained most of the things over there. The one thing I haven't explained is this algebra. And this is a superalgebra, Jordan superalgebra. It consists of matrices that look like this. This is the even part. And this is the odd part. And the product is exactly the product that we had over there. It's 1/2 AB plus minus 1 to the A bar, B bar. Okay. So the examples of these types of algebras are if you just take n by n matrices, and embed this one unitally into that, then you will get an example. Okay. So what I think we don't have a better description of these algebras. In particular, we don't have a description of what exactly these algebras are. What are all the Jordan algebras that contain this? But I think it's interesting that if you take away the word super, then this is exactly the A1 construction that you can find in the papers of Titz and Cantor and Kricker from 40 years ago. So after all this work, we're sort of back where we were 40 years ago, but in the super case. Okay. Okay. So I think I'll stop here. Thank you.